We're joined in studio this morning by Dr. Rachel Franks, who is here with a special Halloween edition of Dictionary of Sydney. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning, Jess.
I am very excited about this.
Well, it's a quirky story. So yeah. It actually started out as a very traditional colonial story of greed and murder. So the two stars of our ghost story are George Worrell, who is a shoemaker in London, and Frederick Fisher, who is also a Londoner. They were both convicted of various crimes and they ended up being shipped out to New South Wales, where they met up and they ended up being friends and neighbours out at Campbelltown.
Okay.
So the trouble started in 1825. So Fisher gets into a fight with a carpenter by the name of William Brooker, who had come to where Fisher and Worrell were living, demanding money. There was a dispute over a debt that was unpaid. Now Fisher, not very good at dispute resolution, as you do, he pulls a knife. He stabs Brooker several times. The guy's in hospital and Fisher realises, oh, I'm on a ticket of leave. My best friend is on a ticket of leave. I've just committed a really horrible crime. I could lose everything.
Mm.
So he turns to Worrell for help and he gives him power of attorney over all of his farms and his properties and the stock. So this is all very nice and trustworthy. And then Fisher actually lucks out when he goes to court for his stabbing of Brooker. He only gets 6 months in prison and he's told to pay a £50 fine. So he thinks, oh, this is all right. 6 months' time, my life will return to normal. But Worrell had other ideas. So Worrell actually gets used to living the life with all of Fisher's wealth because he hadn't been so successful on his ticket of leave as Fisher had.
Okay.
So suddenly Fisher just disappears. And Worrell says, oh, it's all right, he's gone back to England. Everything's fine. But then people start to think, well, actually, this is a bit weird. Fisher's just up and left and Worrell is now starting to sell Fisher's property, stuff that was laying around the paddock, some of the stock, all that sort of thing. And people get so suspicious that the Sydney Gazette run a series of ads offering rewards. And in true colonial style, it's £20 if you can prove he was murdered, but only £5 if you can prove he was still alive and he actually had gone back to England. So breakthrough in the mystery comes in about October 1826. So three young boys are fishing and they take a shortcut over a fence that actually separated Worrell's and Fisher's properties and they find blood on the fence rail. So they go off and they alert the authorities. The constables come in, they bring in some Indigenous trackers who, reading country and looking at the trail of blood, they actually discover Fisher's shallow grave nearby.
Wonder who got the £20, the kids or...
They actually did split it up and some of the Indigenous trackers, in a rare moment of recognition, also received some of the money for finding the body, which
Excellent.
Is quite good. And it was all very dramatic. This had been building up in the newspapers and there's this fabulous report about the face was completely flattened, the head fractured and the body in a state of decay.
Oh.
So there's all this drama about... Mm-hmm. What had happened then to Fisher. So lots of people were suspected, but eventually it was Worrell's dreadful behaviour, the selling off of Fisher's assets, that pointed the finger to him. And he went to court. Lots of people offered witness testimony that he'd tried to sell them something that had belonged to Worrell, that he'd been... belonged to Fisher and that Worrell had been acting suspiciously for many months and he ended up being hanged in early 1827 for the murder of his friend. So this is where it gets really quirky. So Worrell protests his innocence all the way up until almost the very last moment, and just before he's hanged he confesses the crime, but he says it's an accident. And in one of the worst lies ever told in Australia, he says, oh, but we were crossing the paddock together and I picked up the fence railing and I bashed him to death, but it's because I thought he was a horse.
Oh, my God.
So there's no explanation of why you would randomly kill a horse in the middle of the paddock.
No, exactly.
And some people have suggested, well, maybe he was really drunk and he thought his best friend looked like a horse. But if he was drunk, he wouldn't have been able to wield a fence paling.
A huge, very heavy fence paling.
With such vigorous effect.
Yeah. And again, who bashes a horse to death?
I know. This it's completely bizarre, bonkers.
Bizarre. I don't know how he thought that that was going to be the thing that was like, oh, no, you're fine. Please.
We're sorry. Don't worry about the gallows tomorrow.
On your way.
So the story sort of ended there. And it actually wasn't until 1832 that an anonymous poem was printed, The Sprite of the Creek. And that gives credit to the finding of Fisher's corpse. Not to the three young boys who had been fishing that day, the constabulary and the Indigenous trackers, but actually to a local farmer by the name of John Farley. And the poem talks about how Farley was coming home and he sees the ghost of Fisher sitting on the fence where the blood was discovered, and it's Fisher's spirit that points to where his own body lay.
Oh.
Which is kind of fun because this spooky idea that you can, you know, point the finger of guilt from beyond the grave had some attraction. Colonial Australia, lots of crimes actually went unsolved. So this idea that you could have a hand in solving a crime committed against you, even if you'd been murdered, would have had some appeal. The story went international. Australian barrister and John Lang actually published it in one of Charles Dickens' magazines.
Oh, wow.
Household Words. And it just... it went from there, and it's been really popular. It's been retold over and over again. Books, poetry, songs. It's been a play.
It's been a play? Wow, okay.
It's been all sorts of stuff. And then in 1956, on the 130th anniversary of Fisher's murder, a crowd of 400 people spontaneously gathered at Campbelltown to see if the ghost would come back on the anniversary. And it was quite random and a bit disorganised, and there was a really cranky copper at the scene who said he was quite upset about all the fuss, and if the ghost did turn up, he was going to charge him with offensive behaviour.
Public nuisance.
That's right. But of course, Campbelltown, it's part of their history, fabricated and truthful, and so they've actually embraced this legend of Fisher's ghost. They have a festival now. Every year, the Fisher's Ghost Festival, it starts again this Friday. If you're interested, they have a street fair, a fun run. They used to have, back in less appropriate days, a beauty pageant, Miss Sprite.
Oh, I don't think a beauty pageant named for a violent murder is the smartest thing I've ever heard.
No, it's not good public relations. So they've scrapped that element.
Good.
But they still do a lot of the other stuff, and it's quite a lot of fun.
Oh, how fun. So that starts this Friday.
This Friday. So if you need more information about that, you can go to the Campbelltown City Council's website, and they have the program there.
And that is phenomenal. What a wild, wild story. I can't get over the fact that Worrell thought, no, it was a horse. It's fine. I don't know in what universe he thought, this is it.
This is my escape plan.
This is the master plan. Not self-defense. Not anything reasonable or plausible. No, he was a horse.
It's truly the dumbest lie ever told, yeah, I think.
But I love that there's also ghost stories and ghosts out in Campbelltown as well.
Yeah.
When you think of ghost stories, you think of the rocks and you think of, you know, the old quarantine
or
station.
Dodgy houses, yeah, and libraries and things like,
yeah,
that. But no, this is just out in a creek, out in Campbelltown, and they've embraced it. And so they've been telling the story ever since.
You might not know, but do we know what is at that kind of location now? Is it a park? Is it a house?
They do have the local history society out at Campbelltown, and Ed's have actually mapped all of that information.
Oh, wow.
And again, it's on the Campbelltown website. It's also available at dictionaryofsydney.org. So you can do your own ghost trail. You can print off the map and you can go out to the creek and
spooky.
Have a little look around.
Spooky. Yeah. Everyone head out. It's Halloween tonight. I mean, what a fun spooky way to get into the spirit. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us this
Thanks
morning.
Thanks a lot, Jess.